If you would, turn your Bibles, if you have it with you. Turn to Luke 15. And like just announced this morning, we're going to talk about the prodigal son. But I want to start out first and read the first two verses. Now all the tax gatherers and the sinners were coming near him to listen to him. And both the Pharisees and the scribes began to grumble, saying, "This man eats with sinners, receives sinners and eats with them." It is apparent that some of the publicans and sinners saw hope and found comfort in Jesus and desired to be near him. Jesus was graciously open to these people, desiring to receive them as penitent disciples and bring them to God. As he ate with the publicans and sinners, the righteous, self-righteous Pharisees and scribes murmured against him. And then Jesus, who is a master teacher, responded by telling them three parables. One of the lost sheep, the lost coin, and then the parable we want to look at tonight is that one of the prodigal son. The parable of the prodigal son has been called many things. It's been called the pearl and crown of all parables. And then one reference that I read, it's been referred to as the gospel within the gospel. While it's commonly called the prodigal son, which is something I learned, it means wasteful. It can rightfully be called the parable of the loving father, for it reveals about the love of the father more than the sinfulness of the young son. The parable also reveals much about the heart of the unforgiving elder brother, whose purpose in this parable is to rebuke those unwilling to reach out and receive those who are lost. So what I want to do tonight, let's begin reading, and I like to refer to this parable also as the parable of rebellion, repentance, and reconciliation. So what I'm going to do is just take a few minutes. I want to read it, and then we'll go back and talk about a few points, and then the lesson will be yours. So we'll turn over to verse 11, and the scriptures say, "A certain man had two sons, and the younger of them said to his father, 'Father, give me the share of the estate that falls to me.' And he divided his wealth between them. And not many days later, the younger son gathered everything together, and he went on a journey into a distant country, and there he squandered his estate with loose living. Now, when he had spent everything, a severe famine occurred in that country, and he began to be in need. And he went and attached himself to one of the citizens of that country, and he sent him into the fields to feed swine. And he was longing to fill the stomach with the pods that the swine were eating, and no one was giving anything to him. But when he came to his senses, he said, 'How many of my father's hired men have more than enough bread, but I am dying here with hunger? I will get up and go to my father and will say to him, Father, I have sinned against heaven and in your sight, and I am no longer worthy to be called your son. Make me as one of your hired men.' And he got up and came to his father, but while he was still a long way off, his father saw him and felt compassion for him and ran, embraced him, and kissed him. And the son said, 'Father, I have sinned against heaven and in your sight. I am no longer worthy to be called your son.' But the father said to his slaves, 'Quickly, bring out the best robe, put it on him, and put a ring on his hand and sandals on his feet. And bring the fatted calf, kill it, and let us eat and be merry.' Now his older son was in the field, and when he came and approached the house, he heard music and dancing. And he summoned one of the servants and began inquiring of what things this might be. And he said to him, 'Your brother has come, and your father has killed the fattened calf because he has received him back safe and sound.' And he became angry and was not willing to go in, and his father came out and began entreating him. But he answered and said unto his father, 'Look, for many years I have been serving you, and I have never neglected a command of yours, and yet you have never given me a kid that I might be merry with my friends. But when this son of yours came, who has devoured your wealth with harlots, you killed the fattened calf for him.' And he said to him, 'My child, you have always been with me, and all that I have that is mine is yours. But we have to be merry and rejoice, for this brother of yours was dead and has begun to live, and was lost and has been found. So what we have tonight is what we're doing is here we have a young man that asks his father to give him his portion of the inheritance. And according to the law of Moses, the eldest son received a double portion. So since there were two sons, this young man was going to get one third of his father's estate. And like so many impatient young people today, the younger son desired to be free of parental restraints and oversight, desired to have his father's inheritance now, and his father grants his request, and the younger son takes all that he has and goes into a distant country. You know, when I read this, and when I think about this, when he asked to have everything, to me, that gave me an indication that this young man had no intentions of coming back. He didn't ask for just a portion so he could go off for a little while and then come back. He wanted it all, his entire portion. So, you know, I think he had the idea that he was never going to come back to this, you know, to his father's home. And then with his prodigal and wasteful living, he soon depletes all of his possessions. And, you know, don't you know in his mind that he, you know, once he goes off, he is partying, he's having a great time, and he's probably got more friends than he can count. And he's got what I call superficial friends. You know, these are his best friends till the money ran out. And then they cut and run on him. And so he's broke. And next thing you know, his poverty is complicated by a famine that strikes the country. And in desperation, he's by himself. He hires himself out to another to feed pigs. This would be the most degrading thing for a Jew to do, is to feed pigs. Because in the Jews' eyes, the pigs were the most unclean thing you can imagine. And then I read in one reference that supposedly there was a saying back in that day that the Jews had at that time, that may a curse come upon the man who cares for swine. And with great hunger, he would have gladly eaten what was given to the pigs. And for all these years when I've read this, you know, I have read this parable, you know, countless times and gone over it and just, you know, and I knew that, you know, this young man left, he lost all of his money. And I never really, really thought about it until I really studied this, though. But this young man, he was broke. And some of the words that were used for hunger in the Greek indicate that he was literally starving to death. He had hit rock bottom. And that is when he comes to his senses and he starts to think about home. Recalling how well fed his father's hired servants are, they had plenty and here he was starving to death. So with hunger, humiliation, and now he's homesick. So he resolves to himself to return home. He decides he's going to confess his sins against heaven and to his father, to confess his unworthiness, to be called his father's son, and hopefully to be made just like one of his father's hired servants. But one of the wonderful things about this is not only does he have a repentant in heart, he takes action. He goes home. And he goes home, and he is warmly welcomed by his father. The prodigal son returns home, and while he's still a great way away, far away, his father sees him. Don't you know his father's been looking for him to come home for a long time, hoping and praying he'd come back? So the father's great love is immediately evident. He has compassion. He runs out to greet him. He hugs him and kisses him. And then the son is quick to confess his sins and his unworthiness to be called a son. But before he can even say, make me your own hired servant, the father joyfully calls upon the servants to bring out the best robe and put it on him, to put a ring on his hand and sandals on his feet, and then kill the fatted calf in order that they could celebrate, all of which served to show that the Son would be back in a place of importance and authority. And then what means the most is this touching summary of what the Father says is that for this my Son was dead and is alive again. He was lost and is found. Certainly, I'm sure any parent can relate to the emotions this father felt. But then here comes jealousy. The older son, returning from the field, wonders what the celebration's all about. He asks one of the servants. And the servant tells him what's going on. He said, "Your brother's returned." And then he refuses to go in. And then the father comes out and pleads with him. And the oldest son complains. He says, "For many years I've served you, Father, and I've never transgressed your will. And you have never provided any kind of celebration for me." He said, "You've more or less never even killed a goat for me." And then in verse 30, this is the way I really know that he's mad, because he says, "For this son of yours has wasted an inheritance with harlots, and then you kill the fatted calf from him." I can relate to that feeling, because I can't tell you how many times I'd come home from work and walk in the kitchen and Karen would have her mad face on. And first thing I think, you know, is I've done something. And then the first words out of her mouth is, "You're not going to believe what your oldest daughter did today." And of course, I probably have a sigh of relief because I'm glad it's not me. But that gives me, you know, that right there gives you an indication of how mad this son was. But the fatherly warmly has a warm response, and he recognizes the son's faithfulness when he told him, "You are always with me," and he assures that the oldest brother that he will get everything that he has, because he said, "And all that I have is yours." Yet the father maintained the right to celebrate, because once again he told him, said, "Your brother was dead and is alive again, and was lost and is found." So we know that one of the things of the parables is that they are a lesson about of something that happens in nature, but they also have a spiritual lesson. Well, that I want to do is, what is the spiritual lesson being taught here? And the first three elements we know that the father represents our God, you know, God in heaven. The prodigal son coming home is representative of a penitent sinner. And the elder brother reflected the attitude of the self-righteous Pharisees and the scribes. One of the key lessons I think we should get from this is that our Heavenly Father loves His children. Even when we turn away from Him, His heart yearns for us in love. But especially when we come back with a penitent heart and an attitude. The faithful children of God need to understand also that to receive an erring child, it is our duty to receive the erring child who returns to God, but again, not to do it jealously, but with joyous celebration and with a strong affirmation of love, just as illustrated by the father in the parable. The prodigal son, along with two previous parables, the lost coin and the lost sheep, was told by Jesus to teach these important lessons to the Pharisees and the scribes. Yet while directed toward them, imagine how these parables comforted the hearts of the tax collectors and the sinners who were drawn near to Jesus, as we read in verse 1 and 2. Though considered unacceptable by a lot of the religious elite, they learned that they could be accepted by God, that God was seeking for them and would lovingly receive them if they would repent. We must never forget that it was Jesus who said, "Those who are well do not need a physician, but those who are sick. I have not come to call the righteous, but sinners to repentance." I hope and pray tonight that if you're here tonight and haven't obeyed the gospel of our Lord Jesus, that you will be like a prodigal son and come to your senses and realize what a dire condition your soul is in. Or, as a child of God, if you have turned away from your Heavenly Father and you want to come back home and make amends, come forward and we'll pray with you and for you. If you're subject to the invitation in any way, we ask you please come now and stand and sing.